RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. No A.J., he'll be back next week. But,
hey, everybody, this is A.J. Hoffman.
That sounds just like him.
Yeah.
Our good friend Craig Gass is in studio.
I'm repurposing my Tracy Morgan impression.
Hey, everybody, this is A.J. Hoffman. This show is making me horny. That's crazy. That is crazy.
That sounds just like A.J.
Yeah.
Craig is going to be doing, I'm going to do this up front so that we don't forget, because this is what always happens. We just start BSing and Craig starts doing his bits, and we never talk about the fact that you're going to be at the joke joint.
That's true. I always forget to mention stuff.
So we're going
to
do that right at the top, Thursday through Saturday. And guys, if you haven't seen Craig, I have to say, I just came back from a comedy festival in San Francisco. And I told him this yesterday, and he thought I was blowing smoke up his ass. But the truth is, I did not see one person who puts on a better show than Craig. And Jim Jeffries is the one guy I would say, yeah, he was great. Everybody else, and these are supposed to be big dogs, go see Craig. He's hilarious.
If you come down, I'm usually funny. And there's some language, but I'm a good person. I love my mom, and I send her money every month. And but, yeah, I'm doing six shows this time. They added a sixth show on Saturday, which is going to be the dinner show. They're doing a 6 p.m. show on Saturday night. And for those of you who don't know, I'm a voice guy. I've always been able to do I've been doing voices on Family Guy and American Dad for the last few years, and I've always been able to do any voice that I hear because of how I grew up. And this is not a joke. It's a true story. Everyone in my family is deaf. My mom, my dad, and my sister are all completely deaf, which always makes people feel like, ooh, I don't want to make a joke. But it's like the most outrageous jokes I've ever heard about deaf people were from my own deaf family. I, like, last year, I threw a surprise birthday party for my sister. And everything's a surprise for deaf people. But I threw a surprise birthday party for my sister. And at dinner, my sister is sitting across the table from me, and she's signing to me in sign language. And she said, do you want to hear a good joke? And I said, sure. And then she said, me too. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, deaf people make the best jokes about deaf people. So, but growing up in a deaf family, I couldn't learn how to talk from my family. I learned how to talk by copying all the voices I heard on TV. And I never got an accent from the Bronx, which is where I'm from, and everybody in the Bronx sounds like Tracy Morgan.
Everybody in the Bronx talk like this, whether you black or white, male or female. That's crazy. Hey, this is the voice of your next door neighbor, and I'm a Vietnamese girl. That's crazy.
Yeah, so weirder the voice, the easier it is for me to do it. Here's my A.J. Hoffman.
Hi, this is A.J. Hoffman. I got a weird voice and a strange tone. It's like I got no tone. I sound like a deaf guy. Deaf people have no tone either. Pow!
You know what? That actually might have been my Christopher Walken. I'm not doing any original voices right now. I'm just repurposing all my impressions and making them AJ.
But they have worked for you over the years, so.
You know, the guy who I think has one of the coolest voices ever is Morgan Freeman. Did you see that story last week?
Yeah.
Well, there's two of them. The one that got me first before the big scandal broke was that he's doing the announcements on the transit system in Vancouver. Did you know that? They hired him in Vancouver.
I didn't know that.
Which is, I think it's hilarious because I think announcements are supposed to be brief. I can't picture Morgan Freeman.
Next stop, downtown. I was in downtown once, back in 1965. That's where I met your mama. Beautiful girl.
And now he's like a sexual harasser.
Yeah, yeah, he went full Weinstein.
You're on the train to Booty Town. Next stop, Booty.
Like, I feel bad for, I don't know. But it's just such a rich voice, and it's just weird to think of him sexually harassing people. But yes, the weirder the voice, the easier it is for me to do. From Christopher Walken to Adam Sandler, who's very silly, and he's always nervous
and he can't make eye contact with anybody. Shibby-doo, hee-hoo, you know, to whatever. And it lent itself to Family Guy and American Dad a few years ago.
I got a phone call from Linda, the casting director of Family Guy, who said, hey, Craig, my name's Linda. I'm the casting director of Family Guy and American Dad. I don't know if you're available, but we'd like to offer you a job. And I was sitting in a Long John Silver's at the time, and I said, yeah, I'm available. I, you know, get some hush puppies. Okay. Yeah, yeah, what did you want me to do? And I agreed to everything this woman said. You ever been so excited to get a job, you just don't even ask for details?
Yeah, I have.
I think he does have that experience.
Yeah, I had this woman said, Craig, are you available? Yes. You can work in New York, where you know where I was living at the time. We can talk to you on the ISDN line. Or if you can come to L.A., we can put you in a studio with Seth MacFarlane. And I said, yes. And she said, can you be there next Friday? Yes. And I said, yes to everything. Hung up the phone. The night before I flew out there, I'm hanging out with a bunch of comedian friends of mine. And I said, hey, I don't know if I told you this. I just got offered a job doing voices with Family Guy. And they went, oh my God, how much are they paying you? And I went, I have no idea. I never even asked how much are you going to pay me. And I had to call this woman up the next day and I go, Linda, hey, it's Craig Gass. And she went, are you okay? And I said, I'm okay. This is very embarrassing, but I didn't ask you how much am I getting paid when I come in tomorrow. And she went, hang on. Craig Gass. You're getting scale plus 10. And I went, okay. All right, so I'm scale plus 10? And she said, yeah. And I said, all right, so I'm scale plus 10. She goes, yeah. You got any questions? And I went, yeah, what's scale plus? I don't know what the – I've never been paid with a scale before. What are we talking about? She had to explain to me that the union that I'm a part of had negotiated at the time the union minimum scale was $780 plus 10%, which was $78. So I was going to get paid $858 to do this recording session, which I would have paid them to do it.
Right.
So all I knew is that my plane ticket was $400. I think my rental car was like $60. And I went, yeah, that's, you know, I'm going to make $300. So that's fine. And I walked in and my first recording session, I was alone with Seth MacFarlane, who every TV show I've been on has been a huge show. King of Queens,
Sex in the City.
Law and Order, everything I've done has been a huge show. But Family Guy was the first show I ever did that I was a fan of. I watch it religiously every Sunday. So when I walk in and I see Seth, I'm super nervous. I know everything about him. And every time he makes a joke, I laugh too hard. Right? No, like, yeah. And then we go in, and the whole recording session lasts maybe 5 minutes. It's just Seth kept doing one line as Peter Griffin, where he said, this is crazier than when Al Pacino was a slumlord laundromat tenant. And they cut to me as Al Pacino, surrounded by a bunch of broken down washers and dryers, going, you're out of order. And you're out of order. And you're all out of order. And I did that 3 times, and Seth MacFarlane went, all right, man, I think we're good. But I was nervous because I thought we were going to be friends now because we're working together. And I thought, we're going to be friends. And I said, so you want to hang out or you want? He goes, what do you mean hang out? And I go, you want to grab a coffee or something? And he goes, I got to work. And I said, all right. You want me to leave? And he goes, yeah, get the hell out of here. And I go, oh, sorry. Got my papers, walked out of the building. And I didn't hear from them again for like, I think it was like 6 months, and then they started calling me every couple of months and saying, hey, Craig, can you do this voice? Can you do this voice? And every time they called, I said, yeah. Oh, yeah, I can do it. And then every time I walked in, Seth MacFarlane's never around. It's always a guy named Mike Henry who does the voice of Cleveland and the creepy old guy. And every time I see Mike, I go, hey, Mike, is Seth around? And every time I see him, he goes, don't worry about Seth. We'll get you out of here real quick. We'll get you out of here real quick. That says everything. So where is AJ, by the way?
He is floating on a river right now.
Floating down a river?
Yeah.
Just drinking and...
Drinking and floating, basically.
Having a good time?
Yeah, that's something he and his family do every year. They go for a week, go up to the river and get on the tubes and drink an awful lot of beer. I know he took several cases with him, so I'm sure he's about ready for replenishment.
And several cases of Thrive Plus, I might add.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I was told that when I texted, hey, I'm back in town, I want to come out. And they said, well, AJ's gone, but one of our bosses is going to be here. So are both of you guys bosses? Are you what?
Well, I'm the boss, and she?
I'm the gloss, but sometimes the hoss, but luckily mostly the gloss.
Really? Okay. So you guys oversee the company, the building, the...
Oh, you're going to have to take me out of that one. He's the real boss.
Oh, okay, okay. And...
Well, I oversee Fred Fowler, which is not an easy undertaking. Yeah, so you laugh immediately. It's the impossible, is it not?
Fred, so Fred, you're spending an entire week with the guy that you answer to.
Well, just today.
Yeah, he wouldn't take me for a week.
No.
Really?
He thought one day would be enough.
I think I'm the only one with the balls to actually have him on, though.
I think, you know, I'll tell you this. As a radio guy, I've been doing radio for as long as I've been doing comedy, I've been doing radio. And there's always moments where you screw up on the air or you go, oh, man, I don't know if I should do that. And the same thought always comes up. Well, the boss probably isn't listening. But you got the boss right
here. Oh, no, I'm listening today.
He listens most days. If you know, we get off the rails a little bit, I'll occasionally get a text.
How long have you been dealing with radio talent?
Well, it's been 10 years now. It's probably been one of the biggest challenges of my professional career.
How many times overseeing radio talent have you ever had to pull somebody aside and go, that was uncalled for, what you did on the air today?
Actually, not too many times.
Really?
There have been about 15 to 20 times over 10 years where I've really felt compelled to do something like that.
Okay. And
now we have a guest coming later today who sometimes makes me cringe, Beth from Darling Way. She's what we call the sex lady.
Yeah.
And she makes me cringe, although I've never really felt the need to reprimand her. She seems to know right how to get to the edge.
Because she speaks in a very clinical way, right? In a clinical, but she's very descriptive?
Yes.
She's descriptive?
Yes, yes, and yes.
But she's in a clinical...
You should listen to her describe the act of oral sex.
Really?
I think you'll be entertained.
God bless her.
Now that I mean, need to talk to her about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What time does she come in?
She'll be here at 6:15.
At 6:15? Okay.
So if you're in the car on your way back, then you should listen.
And have any of your on-air guys ever made jokes about you on the air?
Oh, I tune them out most of the time, but absolutely. Yes, it's a regular undertaking.
I think that is a thing. When you're on the air, I think it's compelling when you bring your life on the air and start talking about what's going on in your life. And part of it is where you work and the people you're dealing with at work. And I just always find it interesting the first time you hear a joke made about you, you just like, you know, there's times when I used to work with Howard Stern and my name will still come up. And somebody will make a joke about me, and it throws me. I'll be in Cleveland, Ohio, listening to the show, and I'll go, wait, what? You know, did it throw you the first couple times your name was mentioned in a way that was, like, making fun of you?
Yeah, I'd say it does. I'm sort of the corporate suit, right? That's my identity in the building, that guy who it just has to hole up and push numbers and look at spreadsheets. So I've embraced the identity.
Did you is it hard to not take it personally?
I've gotten over it. I'm used to it now. They beat me into submission and to following it. I'm fine with it now.
Here's an honest question, though.
Yes.
Is there any one joke that's been made about you by any of your on-air guys that you still think about? It's still kind of, that one was...
No, you know, because they're just not that funny.
Because I'll do...
Sorry, Fred.
AJ's the one who makes jokes about
that's
you.
Right.
I've only said nice things, for the
that's
record.
Right.
I've done roasts. Some that were televised and some that were just for charity in front of just the audiences there for the charity. But at roasts, I know I'm going to get skewered.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I know because I'm sitting on that stage. We're all going to get slapped around. I know that. But the moment that someone on the microphone starts to go, I don't know if you know this, but Craig's whole family is deaf, I do the automatic, laughing. This doesn't hurt me at all. Like I'm pretending like, these are jokes. But it's hard to, sometimes it's hard to not, you know, take a joke. It's like when I do impressions of people, I find that people have a tough time with the impression. And I've had people do impressions of me. You've had someone do an impression of you and you go, that's not what I sound like.
Sure.
And I remember working on that TV show, Las Vegas. Alec Baldwin was my partner on the show. Like, not like a partner, like we didn't go camping.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was like my partner. We robbed the casino. We did manly stuff together. We robbed the casino. But I remember every day Alec Baldwin would walk up to me and go, "Can I hear some more of your Al Pacino? I love your Al Pacino. Can I hear some more of your Al Pacino?" And I go, "Yeah. Hey, real quick, this is my buddy Fred. He's visiting from here. Can you do your impression for my buddy?" And he would do impressions that, like, he has a Tony Bennett impression that you just go, "What the hell does Tony Bennett sound like?" But he'll grab an empty martini glass and go, "Yeah, I'll tell you what. I used to date Marilyn Monroe. Marilyn Monroe was a real foxy lady. I once made love to Marilyn for up to 12 hours until the paramedics came along and said, 'Tony, she's gone.'" It was the darkest material. It was so crazy. And then he would ask me, "Do you ever do the impressions for the people you do impressions of? Do you ever walk up and say, 'Hi, I do an impression of you. Would you like to hear it?'" And I said, "No, but you know what they do is people find me and they go, 'Hey, you're the guy who does the impression of me. I want to hear the impression,' and I'll do it." And then they feel weird about it. They feel uncomfortable. And Alec Baldwin said, "You know why? It's because you take a part of their soul." And I went, "What the hell are you talking about?" And
wow.
Then, but I get it because I've had people do impressions of me that makes everyone laugh, and I don't get it. And I'll go, "What? Why is that funny? I don't walk like that. I don't sound like, is that, you know?" So I get that a little bit. You know, it's just being thought of in any way that makes other people laugh can make me uncomfortable. So, and when you're the boss, people are going to talk to you about you, you know?
Well, they enjoy that. Now, I do have a homework assignment for you. You need to spend a lot of time listening to Carla Dawson here.
Okay.
And work on an impression of Carla. She's
right,
got
Carla.
A distinct voice, and I think that would be a good name to add to your repertoire.
Yeah.
And she has a really good eye roll that we just saw there, too.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing is that it's actually hard for me to do normal voices, and the more unique the voice, the easier it is for me to do it. So it's got to be – like Christopher Walken's easy because he – he sounds like a deaf guy. He sounds like he's got no tone. Tom Arnold has a normal voice, yeah, but he's speeded up. And Tom is he's always kind of out of breath and sounds like he's still doing coke. And he is. No, he's not. I've been sober for 12 years. I was actually at a Cocaine Anonymous meeting with Brett Favre. Probably shouldn't say that out loud, but Brett's a big cokehead. And again, it's, you know, supposed to be anonymous. But his sponsor is Bob Costas. Bob's addicted to porn. And again, I shouldn't say that out loud. But that's what I do, by the way, every year at the Super Bowl,
yeah,
with you guys. I'll come on as Tom Arnold and just try to connect sports stars from the 90s and early 2000s that I saw at a meeting recently, at a 12-step program meeting. And every year, Tom Arnold will get in a Twitter war with people who will go, "Hey, man, it's supposed to be anonymous." And Tom will tweet at people, go, "Hey, did you notice that Sam Kinison was on the air, too? That guy's been dead for like 20 years, you idiot. That's not me, you idiot." And he'll fight with people, and it's hilarious to see those fights like spin out like that. But the shows this weekend are all going to be impressions, stories about people who I do impressions of, and the weird run-ins that I've had with them. How much time do I have to hang out here?
You know, we can do, what, another 6 minutes? Is that cool?
We'll just doing a commercial and then come back for that?
We'll just combine the breaks. We'll be fine.
We'll just keep talking?
Yeah.
One of the people who really came after me was Gene Simmons from Kiss.
Oh, yeah.
I used to do an impression of him on the Howard Stern show where I would it only worked when music guests were in the studio. I would constantly interrupt the music guests as Gene Simmons and try to sell them crappy Kiss products. And the real Gene Simmons actually started getting hate mail because of all the awful stuff that I was saying on the air. And we didn't know it at the time, but Gene was getting hate mail. People were yelling at him on the streets. And Gene Simmons got on a plane and flew to New York to confront me live on the radio about my impression of him.
And he was really mad about this.
Yeah, it was kind of a mix. I didn't know how to read him. And the next day, our producer came in and said, "Hey, guys, you're not going to believe this. I just got off the phone with the Kiss headquarters." Which, by the way, that sentence should have been, "Hey, guys, you're not going to believe this. There's a Kiss headquarters." You know what I mean? Like there's some kind
of
legion.
I like the sound of it.
Yeah, like there's some kind of Legion of Doom with four superheroes flying around wearing Kiss underoos.
I just got on the phone with the Kiss headquarters. Gene Simmons wants to come in, and he wants to be a guest on the show, like for real. And he only has one request. He says, "I don't want to be there when Craig's around." That's his one request. He really hates you, Craig. He really hates you, man.
And I thought it would be funny I said, well, what if I showed up anyway? Or what if I dressed up in full Gene Simmons makeup? And I ended up crashing his interview dressed as Gene Simmons. And I walked in. You can actually see this on YouTube. I kicked the door open wearing Kiss monster boots and said, stop right there. I'm the real Gene Simmons from Kiss. And you are an imposter. But I can prove it. Because I got a bunch of cheap crap I want to sell you. And I had a bag full of crap that I had written Kiss logos on. Just random knickknacks. And remember I had like a New Kids on the Block lunchbox. And I just took out a Sharpie and wrote, Kiss. That's $50 right there. And he loved it. And I went on to do shows with Kiss. And then until recently... and I told you the story about how I got in trouble with the Kiss fans, right? On the Kiss cruise?
Yeah, tell them, though.
Now the Kiss fans are mad at me because I got invited to perform on this event called the Kiss Cruise. There's 3,000 Kiss fans from around the world. They get on a cruise. She laughs. Like, it's...
I'm sorry. That's better than the Gronk cruise, I have to say.
I'm about to perform on a wrestling cruise with Chris Jericho in a few months. It's like a rock and wrestling. They got all these bands, and then the Impractical Jokers are going to be there, and myself. But I do this Kiss cruise, and I met a girl on the cruise who was the cruise director. She's really upbeat. She's really peppy. She's the Julie McCoy of the Kiss cruise. And when I meet her, she goes, oh, my God, you're the comedian. You're the voice guy from Family Guy. And the, oh, my God, do you want to make an announcement on the ship tomorrow morning? And I said, I would love to make an announcement. Is everyone going to hear it? And she goes, it gets piped into every cabin. The next morning, everyone on the Kiss cruise woke up to, hey, everybody. This is Paul Stanley,
and this is Gene Simmons from Kiss, and we have a very important announcement. Do not panic, but we have a very important announcement about the Kiss cruise. It seems that the Kiss cruise has just hit an iceberg.
Now, keep in mind, when I said we've hit an iceberg, we're in the middle of the frickin' Bahamas when I said that. There's no reason for you as an intelligent person to go, this ship's going down! We're in the Bahamas!
But do not panic because Kiss is going to take care of everybody, okay? We actually have three packages to get everybody off the ship. First, we have the Platinum Package, which is $5,000, which is we put you in a life raft and you have your own private photos taken with Kiss. Then we have the Diamond Package. Isn't that right, Paul?
That's right, the Diamond Package.
For $10,000, where we throw you in the ocean with Tommy and Eric. And then Kiss floats by on a raft, and we do a private acoustic show in the ocean.
Everything I said was stupid, but apparently two or three of the passengers actually ran to the employees and said, is Kiss really going to charge us to get off this boat? And so Kiss fans got mad at me. But I'll tell you one thing that has happened since the last time I've seen you. I auditioned for Saturday Night Live for the first time, and it's the next step is supposed to be happening in the next few weeks, but... Dana Carvey helped me with my first two rounds of my audition.
Awesome.
And he's a huge supporter. I thought I might be too old to even audition, but some friends of mine who work on the show have pointed out that Leslie got hired when she was 46 or 48. So they're like, it's not really about age. It's about what you can do. And they asked me to learn some political impressions. And there's only one guy in politics that I think is very funny. He's a conspiracy theorist, and his name is Alex Jones. Do you know
who
Alex Jones is?
Yeah.
He's crazy. Yeah. He's just nuts. And if you don't know who Alex Jones is, first of all, he has a voice that sounds like a grizzly bear making love to a knapsack. It's like a... And he essentially, his whole show, from how I understand it, is don't trust anyone. And then he tries to sell you some vitamins. And it's the weirdest thing. Like he continually hammers don't trust anyone. And then he's got some potions to sell. And his conspiracy theories will go, I'll follow it for a minute, and then it'll end in something.
Ladies and gentlemen, the government's lying to you. They're lying to you about everything, and you shouldn't trust anybody. They say there's 212 bones in the human body. I've counted. There's only seven. Anyways, this is a wonderful new butt cream that I've been trying. I think it's wonderful. I know Fred's been trying it. You said the butt cream's working really well on you. And we're selling it for right now, limited time, $49.95. And they say Oklahoma City is a real city. I've been there four times. It's not a real city. Anyways, get this while it lasts. Go to Infowars.com. And
you know what? He's the most masculine guy in the world. He just he sweats and spits a lot, and he's just,
I rode a bicycle across America when I was 4 years old. I'm a real man.
I'm spitting on my spit guard. This is why you put a spit guard on. So you
so you don't get electrocuted.
So you can do Alex Jones and not get electrocuted. If you come to the show this weekend, it's at Joke Joint Comedy Showcase, and it's jokejointcomedyshowcase.com. This felt more like an infomercial.
Yeah, you should do Alex Jones telling them to buy their tickets.
Ladies and gentlemen, right now, I'm going to tell you right now, the government's lying to you about everything. The only thing that's real is that Craig Gass is going to do six shows that may or may not be funny. Go to jokejointcomedyshowcase.com. Nothing is real. The frogs are gay. Frogs are gay.
Google that. He actually said that frogs are gay. That the government has some kind of chemical they're putting into frogs to make them gay. It's one of my favorite YouTube clips.
Is that the same chemicals coming out of the contrails on the airplanes?
Yes, it's all part of a conspiracy. It's all out there. It all needs to be investigated. But I really am doing six shows at Joke Joint.
So what time tomorrow?
Tomorrow, I believe, is 8 p.m., and then there's two shows Friday, and then three shows Saturday because they added the dinner show. And if you want to see some weird pictures, go to my Facebook page, facebook.com/ILoveGas. I love gas with two S's, and you'll see there's a collection of weird stuff. Anytime I'm in a weird situation with a celebrity, I always try to document it. Go there, and you'll see what I'm talking about.
And go see the show, man. He's hilarious. And Craig, always fun, man. Before we let you go, you got to give me a little Sam Kinison because you know it's my favorite.
I know that this is a demon. This is a guy that some of you may not be aware of because you're too young. There was a time when there was a guy who used to be a preacher, used to speak the word of God, found his way into cocaine. Oh! What kind of voice is this? Oh, that is what marriage will do to you, folks. That is what marriage will do to you.
Can I tell you my favorite Kinison line that he never put out?
Sure.
A guy at the I've been working at the Comedy Store a lot for the last few years, and a guy who works at the Comedy Store gave me a tape of Sam. He did a piece that no one has ever heard before, and it's Sam talking about Nostradamus, and he said, I'm fascinated by this story, Nostradamus, because here's a guy who, during his time, was able to predict major world events, was able to predict World War I, World War II. Almost, he predicted the rise of Hitler and almost named the guy. He said, and if you know anything about Nostradamus, he said, the great Hister will rise from the East. And he said, I'm reading this, and I'm going, well, that's fascinating. But wait a second. Wait a second. What if Hister hasn't shown up yet? What if this is the guy that's going to make Hitler look like a wussy? Joke Joint Comedy Showcase, everybody. I'm auditioning right in front of the top of the heap of this company. JokeJointComedyShowcase.com.
Yeah, go check it out, guys. And Sam Kinison was always my favorite comedian. That's why I love when Craig does it. And,
thanks for throwing me under the bus, Fred. Joke Joint Comedy Showcase. Great reaction.
Follow him on Twitter at Craig Gass Comedy, by the way.